You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Craig, can you just kind of talk about when this trade came together, how quickly it happened, and the thought behind it?
Sure. So as I think I've maintained for a while now, we're kind of pursuing every opportunity, trying to go down every path that potentially makes our team better in the short term and the long term. And these conversations have been ongoing for quite some time. Very few of them actually materialized. This one did. And came together fairly quickly, though I think, kind of conceptually, the framework had been in place for a while. It was just a matter of, being able to line up, on some of the logistics and mechanics and whether or not it made the most sense for us and made the most sense for them. And anytime you trade someone like Sale, who has made such a meaningful contribution to this organization and was obviously an incredibly important part of a World Series winning team, is a really, really tough decision. The fact that I wasn't the chief baseball officer here didn't diminish that in my mind at all. So it's something that I was very mindful of and very thoughtful of, but in the end, I felt like this was a decision that was best for the Red Sox, both in the near term and the long term. So it was one that I needed to do.
And as far Chris had the no trade. What was it like, kind of working through that with him? The timing of when to let him know that something might be up, and I guess what was his reaction? When it came to that.
Yeah, and don't want to speak for Chris, and I think what I'm comfortable kind of sharing is he was quite appreciative and understanding of the position of the opportunity to kind of influence the longer term outlook of this team, the chance to go to a team that's likely to compete for a World Series championship in the NL. So he, I think he would probably say it was bittersweet, because the organization has meant so much to him. I think he, had very close relationships with the people here and in fact was very mindful of calling that out. So those decisions are never easy. Those conversations are never easy. But I'm super appreciative of, the way that Chris approached it.
Craig, is that type of conversation, like you loop him in early on in the process, or is it you present, hey, this is something that we need your approval at this point?
Yeah, I can only kind of speak to the situation that I was in, have no idea how others handle it. I don't think that there's a very well-defined playbook. Wanted to be respectful of the rights that he had earned, and kind of his rightful place here. And so wanted to treat him, as professionally, as respectfully, as transparently as I possibly could.
Craig, I wonder if you can offer what you liked about Vaughn Grissom. And then secondarily, insofar as you have declared upgrading the starting rotation a primary focus this offseason, given that you just traded Chris, you also lost Paxton's performance. Obviously, there's a deal that we believe has been agreed upon as of yesterday. But how would you describe where you guys are in the starting rotation and what path you see to upgrading it moving forward?
Sure. I think what we saw, on a kind of zoomed out view is, a need to improve the team, both again, kind of in the short term and the long term. You know, I had been pretty vocal that the clearest path to do that was via starting rotation upgrades. That doesn't mean that it's the only path. And in Grissom, we saw, someone that we felt was a dynamic athlete who could play all over the field and offered a ton of versatility, but is likely most likely to settle in at second base. Someone with a really strong right-handed bat who's been an elite performer in the minor leagues, and someone who comes with 6 years of control. As I've talked long about the exciting emerging core of players around whom we want to build, that group is growing, and would certainly count Vaughn in that group. I there's plenty of time left in the off season. We'll continue to be aggressive and relentless in our pursuit of, building this team for sustainable health. But this was an opportunity in front of us and felt like it was the best one for the organization at this time. And so, wanted to execute on it.
Craig, how far along would you describe yourself as being, in the process of putting together a roster that's going to be ready for spring training? Are you just getting started? Are you close to assembling a roster that you're ready to be comfortable with? Where are you at?
Yeah, it's a really difficult question to answer because the dynamics change every day, both via free agency and in trade conversations. I will not stop continuing to look at opportunities to upgrade. And that was the case 2 weeks ago. That will be the case 2 weeks from now. I don't know that it makes a ton of sense to ever say that you're totally comfortable or the roster is set. We feel comfortable with the team. We also recognize that there should be opportunities to upgrade, and we're not going to stop until we walk down every path.
So in other words, could this be it, or do you feel the necessity to, as kind of Alex was mentioning before, does there need to be another, high quality starting pitcher that comes in? Do you feel like there's more pieces of the puzzle that you have to put together before you get to spring training, or could this be, could this be it?
Yeah, I mean, we're certainly open-minded about the possibility of additional upgrades. I'd probably stop short of calling things absolute necessities just because, I'm not sure that that's the best way to operate. But there are still plenty of opportunities that we continue to engage in, both in free agency and the trade market. I think we need to be mindful of how we approach that. I think when we set out in this offseason, we talked about starting pitching upgrades. That hasn't really changed. We'll continue to pursue those, and hopefully we'll be successful in being able to execute on them.
Thank you.
Craig, do you view Vaughn as an everyday second baseman?
We do. Yeah. I mean, I think, part of what made this trade possible, I think part of what made Vaughn Grissom, accessible is the stability and certainty of the roster that he was coming from. And second base is an area of need for us. I think I've talked about the opportunity to upgrade there, and we view him as someone that can play every day.
Hey, Craig, do you see anyone beyond Bayo and G. Little, if you can speak to him, but beyond Bayo who's set in the rotation?
I think we have a number of guys who have positioned themselves for strong consideration in the rotation based on performance last year. I think the ideal situation is to amass as much depth as possible and have guys compete for rotation spots. We have a number of pitchers who have been successful in the big leagues that we're going to stretch out to fill starting roles, and we'll let them kind of battle it out. I think we talked about that at length, and there's always the possibility that there are external additions as well.
Craig, talking about Whitlock, Pivetta, those players can be compete as a starter, but do you think when you see the roster, we have a lot of righties, For starters, do you think you want to have a more balanced rap with the lefties?
So, you know, I think we want pitchers who can get outs, right? Pitchers who limit runs. And, you know, there are certainly advantages to, you know, some versatility, some handedness, especially in the bullpen. But ultimately, you know, I think the key to a good starting pitcher is the ability to have platoon neutrality, be able to get righties and lefties out. And if that means that you need to throw from a particular side, so be it, but I'm not sure that that's the case. You know, ultimately what we want is starting pitchers and relievers who can get both righties and lefties out.
So, you'd be okay with just righties in the 5-man rotation?
Again, I would kind of, you know, I would approach this answer by saying if those righties get righties and lefties out, then yes. You know, if there's a significant deficiency in our ability to get left-handed hitters out, then we need to take a fresh look at the rotation.
Thank you.
What specifically did you like about Vaughn Grissom in terms of kind of his overall makeup and what he can contribute? What kind of jumped out at you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you start with the bat, right, and a pretty elite track record of performance in the upper minor leagues, and even to some degree in the big leagues. You know, a guy who made his debut at Fenway and hit a ball over the monster, right? So I think, you know, start there. I think there's a really really athletic body there, who has had the versatility to play, you know, at second base, at shortstop. I know that there was some plans to get him exposure in the outfield. For us, I think, you know, he makes the most sense penciling him in at second base every day. And at, you know, 22 years old, we still think that there's power to come. There's, you know, kind of really strong bat to ball skills, and someone who I think is his best years are ahead of him. And then when you combine that with 6 years of control and you're able to kind of integrate him into this exciting emerging core that I've talked about, I think we have a real chance to establish the quality and consistency that we're looking for.
Thank you.
Greg, you've said throughout the winter that you hope to maybe cash in some of the position player upside that you have in the organization, young guys, especially for more quality pitching wise. Grissom obviously fits that position player side. Does that make it more likely or easier to move from that group for pitching help?
You know, I think you try to make every one of these decisions stand up in isolation, right? Like, this needed to make sense on its face. You know, I've yet to kind of meet the team that has too many, you know, middle of the infield, strong offensive players. That's a challenge. You know, that's a problem that we would welcome. We would love to have. But certainly, in order to acquire controllable young starting pitching, we have to be willing to make difficult decisions and decisions that hurt. Today's was one of them. But you know, the way that you can mitigate those losses is to continue to acquire not just depth, but real quality.
And I know you kind of touched on this, but just in terms of your list of priorities or needs right now, how would you reset that at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I would still put starting pitching, you know, at the top. Didn't want to be paralyzed by becoming singularly focused on starting pitching, that we let an opportunity to improve the longer term outlook for the team pass us by. But with that set, I think we can, you know, kind of continue to scour the starting pitching market, both in free agency and through trade.
Frank, how close were you on Yamamoto? Did you feel that you had an opportunity to be there at the end and he was going to sign with the Red Sox?
You know, without getting too deep into the details, you know, we pursued a number of starting pitchers, you know, he being one of them. Ultimately, you know, it kind of takes both parties to align, and it didn't. You know, obviously, he's not the only pitcher that we're pursuing or that we had pursued. And, you know, our hope is, you know, we can continue to make good decisions that improve the short and long-term outlook for the team.
Considering what broke last night that you probably can't comment on yet, do you have an idea of when a potential move like that one would be made official, or at some point early this week?
My hope is, you know, that we're approaching something, and I'll have something for you guys here in the not too distant future.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox, and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So, why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazons of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.